live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor. Neil S. Haley, Facebook. LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And it was an all-star cast lineup, having the Biggest Loser trainer on the program today. We had Karen Kingsbury. It was phenomenal. And also, guy from Gadget Nation. Interesting. But our last guest, we saved the best for last, in my opinion, for some many reasons. Again, we're talking Bravo TV. We're talking Married to Medicine. I've had other cast members on. Well, I continue to add more of them, so I'm excited to welcome to the program celebrity Lisa Nicole Cloud. Lisa, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm sure it's beautiful in Atlanta right now. In Pittsburgh, we're having the partly cloudy thing, and finally, the cold weather's gone, right, Lisa? It's time to...
Oh, it feels so great down here. I'm so glad spring is in the air.
So tell me specifically enough, Lisa, the story of how you got on Married to Medicine. Because, again, I talked to the story's creator, Mariah Huck, and she kind of explained a lot of the whole process of how that show started. But tell us your story.
Well, I actually had been asked to do some other shows, but I didn't do them because I didn't feel that they were a good fit for who I was as a person. Married to Medicine, of course, is a show about doctors and doctors' wives. And when they came to me, I was really, very stern about the fact that I'm not the drama queen. I'm not interested in the cat fights, and, I'm not interested in, belittling other women, but if they were looking for a person that could kind of bring balance to the show, that could also maybe be a mentor to some of the ladies as it relates to entrepreneurship and business, then that could be a good fit for me. And surprisingly, they were like, that's exactly what we need. Because in the first season, of course, they'd had the fight with Toya and Mariah, and Jackie was kind of on an island by herself trying to be the voice of reason on the show. And so they wanted some more balance on the show. So I got to come on and really be true to who I am as a businesswoman who loves entrepreneurship and loves, teaching and helping other people really live their dreams and accomplish their goals. And, on the show, I've actually done a lot as it relates to showcasing entrepreneurship. We talk about, follow me in my clothing line, and we follow, the Women's Empowerment Network conference that I put on every year. And I've even mentored some of the ladies on the show that were starting businesses. So it's been a really great experience. And I think the show is one of the best out there as it portrays African-American families, because you truly have family units intact on this show. You have professional women,
right, exactly,
you have educated women.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important to portray that at times, because again, we sometimes see poor portrayals of certain things and people just don't think that you're going to see that out there. And for the mainstream, especially people who watch the Bravo network, a lot of them are different backgrounds. So they finally see specific things and see well-educated people on the show. And specifically, yeah, there are going to be fights, but you're really trying to teach lessons in a lot of these shows as well. A definite story.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. What I could say about Bravo is they have a very mature audience, and they have a very educated audience too. And while they like to see the controversy, they also like to really connect with the characters that they're watching.
Absolutely. And you could see it, even see it from any of their products. Yes, it's going to get drama at times, but also ultimately there is something more to this, a more of a storyline, more of a moral in certain things. Certain reality television shows, I watch them and it's like watching paint dry, Lisa. And I won't tell you the other networks. And I've definitely watched your show before, especially when the first thing I didn't know about your show the first year till I had Mariah on. And then I'm like, okay, I got to tune in. I said, hey, tell my wife, I interviewed this person. It was kind of a funny situation, but you see specifically enough that people grow throughout the show. It becomes a family in so many ways, and that there are going to be struggles that always will lead to that next week's episode, but that's for sure.
Right.
And by bringing you in, you have a mission. And I talked to a former housewife, and she told me basically that you got to have a mission when you go on a reality television show. You have to, that
absolutely.
You want to stick to your brand. You want to stay to your brand, right, Lisa? You don't want to put yourself out there to the point where, guess what? After you're done with this, you're not going to capitalize on it, you know?
You know, I think that's such an important point that you bring up, because there is a business of reality TV. And unfortunately, some talent on reality TV, all they really care about is just being famous.
Right.
You know, but they don't really understand that you have to really leverage the platform of reality TV to make it work for you. You know, looking at examples like Bethany and looking at examples like Mimi, you know, they understand the business of reality TV. So they parlayed their popularity as a character on a reality TV show, and they've done other things, you know, like Skinny Girl products, and then, you know, Nene went on to do Broadway, and she has her line on QVC. So it's really, really important to not only just be there to entertain, but also to have a business strategy when you decide to do reality TV. When I decided to do reality TV, I knew that I was agreeing to be 100% transparent with my life, you know, share in the intimate moments that happen behind closed doors, as well as showcase some aspects of building successful businesses. You can't do one without being willing to do the other, because people don't want to just hear about your businesses. They want to connect with you. And that's what I've really tried to do as talent on a show, is be authentic. And this next coming season, you'll see a lot of things come to the surface as it relates to my family, as it relates to my marriage, as it relates to my businesses. And some things are great and positive, and then some things, you know, you have to take the good with the bad.
You got to be authentic, and that's so true, because at times they are going to set things up to be that way. And it's very interesting. You said some people just want to be stars, and they miss out on things. I interviewed a celebrity show, and I won't ever say this, that they did pretty well, but yet they didn't know how to live tweet well. You missed the boat. You got to be on it social media wise. If you're not going to be on it and be ready and have your PR ducks in a row when you get this platform, you've missed out on many different things. Just because you were big on one show and then the show gets canceled or the show finally stops, you're back to no longer a celebrity. You should have capitalized on that, so people, your fans, stick with you through thick and thin when shows leave or shows have spinoffs or whatever it is. You're never going to have that run forever. And I think, Lisa, you like the fact of being on television, because you have the opportunity also, especially Atlanta, who's become the capital, one of the media capitals, meaning for, like, you know, television and movies and things like that. You could definitely expand your role into acting as well, because Atlanta, I'm promoting Atlanta because I deal with a lot of Atlanta actors, and they're phenomenal from, like, Resurrection or different places I've had on my show, that, you know what, there's a lot of work in Atlanta for acting. So if you wanted to go that route,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, it's become like the Hollywood of the South. And, you know, that is definitely some of the opportunities that have opened up. You know, I've had opportunities to read for drama series, you know, scripted drama series. I'm also, you know, in discussions with, two other media projects. So you really have to understand the platform that you have and figure out what's the next step. You know, what's your next goal beyond the show that you're currently doing?
You don't want to stick with the producers and other people saying they're choosing your life of as a public figure, and that's it. It stops. We all know people that you got as actors, they keep working. And we have to understand this, and the fact that we're going to go through cyclical things, and reality television is going to have to make changes to stay alive and stay as hot as it has for so many years, because everything in media and entertainment changes. So you have to be ready to roll with those punches for the next thing that comes through. So it sounds like you're
absolutely
definitely into this, but you see acting as, this is something that or doing the TV show is part of my brand to help establish all my great businesses that I'm doing and a lot of the other things. And one of the things you are really big about is the WEN Women's Empowerment Conference and what you're doing with that. Tell us about that, Lisa.
You know, WEN is just something that is always started off as something that was more philanthropic. You know, it was my way of giving back and helping other women have their breakthrough and really achieve next level success. You know, I've been very blessed over the years to achieve great success in business, but I've also been blessed to have some great mentors in my life that were willing to pour into me and help me grow. And so that's what WEN is all about. It's an organization that helps women to grow personally, professionally, financially, and spiritually. And we do an annual conference in Atlanta every October. This is going to be our fourth year. And this year in 2015, we're also taking it on tour. So we're going to six different cities around the country for a one-day WEN experience. So, you know, it has really kind of taken on a life of its own. It has definitely become the conference of breakthrough for women that are just looking for strategies to go to that next level. They're looking to be around positive women that believe in sisterhood, that believe in collaboration, and that believe in supporting other women in their endeavors. And so it started off as just an event I was doing to bring women together, but it has grown into so much more. And I couldn't be happier that the show has continued to share the WEN story. You know, this last year they showed the Women's Empowerment Network Conference, and this year they also did a segment on the Women's Empowerment Network Conference. So, again, it's all about putting out those messages when you are on TV that really, really convey who you are as a person so that you can truly be your authentic self as talent on TV.
Absolutely. So let's kind of go lastly in this, what other projects are you currently promoting?
Well, we also are doing Fashion for a Cause. My husband, of course, has a passion for doing international mission work. And, of course, I have a clothing line. And so we brought both of our passions together, and we are going to be doing a medical mission trip to Haiti. And we're taking a team of 12 physicians, and we're sending over about $250,000 in medical supplies. And we've also adopted two schools in Haiti. And so now what we're doing is we are also on tour with that, and we're going to six different cities as well. We're doing a Fashion for a Cause event to raise money for those efforts. And so we're really excited about that because it brings both of our worlds, him as a doctor and me as a fashion designer, together on one project. And again, it's just about making a difference. And one thing I'm excited about is that that is probably also going to be something that they follow next season on the show.
And what I like about is that you guys are a team working together, both working and showing the how you can balance so many important things, Lisa. And that's fantastic. And to be able to show that the husband's a doctor, but that doesn't mean you can't be as successful as your husband. And I think that's another great thing to put on the show as well.
That's the kind of unique dynamic with my husband and I. He is a doctor. He's an emergency medicine doctor, but I'm actually the breadwinner in our household. And so when they met us, they thought, wow, that's different. You know, most of the doctors' wives on the show, they stay at home and they take care of the kids and they take care of the home. But with me, you know, I am every bit of a businesswoman. I'm passionate about entrepreneurship, and it's what I love doing. And so I'm a successful businesswoman. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a philanthropist, and I get, you know, you get to see all sides of me on the show. Thanks God. They're not just showcasing the drama.
Exactly. And I think that it works so well with you guys, and that's the important thing for sure. And that it works together, and you're able to show the specifics of your dynamics and how you can work together, both working and having children, and be able to deal with the difficulties in life. Life is difficult regardless of the mom stays home or works. And that's what we have to speak out, especially my wife's a full-time breadwinner as well. It works. I am too. I'm the entrepreneur and she's the teacher. But we mm-hmm. make it work. And then people say, how do you do it? Well, maybe because you never tried it. The grass is never greener on the other side. So just because you might think it's terrible, it might be the same thing you're dealing with when you're dealing with kids all day at home. So I think it's
exactly.
I think you need to bring that great role model that you're providing for women by saying, you know what, I can be the breadwinner, and that you don't have to settle and say, you know what, I just don't think I can. I have to give up my career for my husband. No. If this is what truly makes you passionate, Lisa, then keep it going. That's how I look at things. So where's the best place we can find information on you? Follow you on Twitter, you know, Facebook, all those different places, and anything for your clothing line and all the information we can find. Where can we go?
Well, if you want to connect with me on social media, definitely connect with me at Lisa Nicole Cloud. That's for Twitter and Instagram. And then you can also follow me on Facebook at Lisa Nicole Cloud fan page. And then if you ever want to just, you know, find out about all the exciting things that we're doing with WEN, go to WENWomensConference.com, and that's WENWomensConference.com, to find out what cities we're bringing the tour to so that you can experience it for yourself and not just watch it on TV. And last but certainly not least, visit me at LisaNicoleCloud.com, because I always keep all of the details about all of the exciting projects coming up.
When does season three start? When is that going to start airing? Do you know when that...
Season three starts in June, so get ready. And I think this season is going to be pretty explosive. I mean, I, without giving you too much detail, I'll just tell you that you're going to see it. You're going to see the Lisa that we talked about today, but there's also another side of everybody that that's there, and you'll get to meet Nikki a little bit this year too.
Well, thanks for calling the program.
In a positive, in a great way, though.
Absolutely.
In a great way. Let me not contradict everything I said, but, you know, there's definitely some controversy that comes up this season between myself and one of my castmates, and I just feel like sometimes when you are that positive person, you try to be pleasant, you try to be nice, people mistake that kindness for weakness, and they try to push you around, and you saw that this season with one of the castmates, but you also saw that I didn't call myself a quadruple threat for nothing. I'm no pushover.
Exactly, and you learn that in business, because business, it becomes personal at times, or not personal, but it becomes, it's business, and at times, if you're being attacked, you gotta battle back. But again, we have to stay tuned in June, and what I love about having the reality television and how it goes on year-round, so, you know, some of these these other people, they shoot 12 episodes, and the season's over, and like, what just happened? I just got hooked. Well, you can continue to stay hooked on Bravo 12 months a year, as other stations as well. But good talking to you, Lisa. Best of luck to all your ventures, and thanks again for calling.
Thanks so much. I look forward to connecting with you again.
All right, take care, Lisa. See you later. Okay,
all right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Author's Corner on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And it's very interesting. When I heard I could have this author on the program, I've listened to today's ChristianMusic.com. I've been listening to a bunch of different Christian music stations, and I've heard her name, and then after I did some research, she's one of the biggest authors I've ever had on my program, so I'm excited to welcome to the program New York Times bestselling author Karen Kingsbury, author of Chasing Sunsets. Karen, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Hey, Neil, I am doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor to have you on the program, and I'm sure you're just blown away with the success you've had with your books and stuff. I don't know if you expected this kind of notoriety, for sure. Did you?
Definitely not. I mean, you set out to write a book and you think, you know, I'm going to touch some hearts and I pray I'll have some readers. You aren't thinking it's going to be like this, and it's just beyond my my wildest imagination.
And it's shocking, and you could just see specifically your message really resonated with readers, and then here you go, and the book tour comes, and another book comes out, and you're like, your life completely changed after that, didn't it? In a lot of ways.
It really did. It's funny, you know, there was a point where you're kind of like, is this going to work? Is it going to take off? Or will I have enough people interested in wanting to read? And I think in a lot of that in early days for an author, it's just getting the word out and making sure that there would be, you know, books available for people to buy. But then there's that tipping point. And sure, you know, I mean, I would pray about this and I could picture Costco tables full of my books, but that didn't mean that was actually how it was going to go, of course. And now when I see the books, flowing over on tables at Costco. It's like, how in the world did that dream come true?
Well, I think that especially with your message and vision and mission, that's what happens sometimes. You're right place, right time, opportunities come your way. It's very interesting. I was looking at the publicity thing, and it said reveals 8 in 10 people believe in angels. And I truly do. I believe I have a guardian angel by my side, and I pray to my guardian angel regularly. So I understand specifically the importance of angels and understanding angels. And that kind of, especially this time coming through Easter and all this stuff, perfect message for the book coming out, right? To talk about specifically angels and stuff. I think that it's powerful for sure. For people that are looking for miracles in so many ways and in the tough world we live in.
It is. It is. And I feel like we are drawn to the supernatural. Maybe it's out of disillusionment for what we see in the here and now, or maybe it's hopeful that there's something more. But certainly you can see the success of stories that delve into supernatural, whether they're vampires or werewolves, that kind of thing. And I felt like, okay, I can write about the light side of supernatural. There's a verse in the Bible that says, be careful to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. And I'm just so drawn to that idea that I may be with a, you know, blown out tire on the side of the road. Someone stops by to help me. I turn around to thank them and they're gone. And it's like, wait, what? Was that an angel? And we don't really always know. In fact, my characters don't know. We know, the reader, we get to be in on this meeting in heaven early in the book. And then two angels are chosen for a mission to Earth where they're going angels walking, so to speak. And they're interacting with characters, creating, you know, very important moments of rescue or wisdom or direction. But the characters think they're just talking to a stranger.
Definitely. And I think that it gives us hope. It really gives us hope. And when our faith, when we believe in angels and we believe in specific things I talked to you about, my guardian angel and praying to other people's angels and looking at specifically how certain miracles happen, it just gives you that sense of safety in life and to understand that there are people helping, looking out for you. I find that fascinating for sure.
Yeah, it's really true. And in fact, I think my readers, maybe, you know, a decade ago, my readers started identifying my fiction as life-changing fiction. Okay, so, you know, you can't put it down and it's going to make you laugh and cry. You might need tissues, but you walk away with a redemptive feeling. Like, even though there may not even be a happy ending in the story potentially, you do know that there's hope. And people are looking for that. I think that's what they resonate with. But this is the first time I've actually said, all right, let me just show you how it might be with angels interacting and working on your behalf, that when you finish the book, you would say, I'm loved. Like, God loves me no matter what. I don't have to earn that. Like, he just loves me enough to be able to have even angels at work on my behalf.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the plot of Chasing Angels. I'm sorry, Chasing Sunsets. Again, it's part of the series that your series, Popular Angels Walking series. Now, tell me specifically the plot line for this story, for this book.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of about four friends. Think Friends, you know, the old hit series. Four friends who are trying to make their way in life and love through trials, sometimes tragedies, beautiful triumphant moments as well. And it is the angels that work among them in what is really a very desperate mission of the heart. So they don't really even know, the people don't even know the stakes of what's happening. But these young people are, there's a lot at stake, more than they know. Heaven knows, you know, what's at stake here. And so things need to go in certain directions, and things need to happen in a certain way for the mission to be accomplished. And ultimately, the four books kind of create one amazing kind of mission that's at stake, and each book deals with a smaller mission. And in this case, it's life or death. So you have Marcus Dillinger, and he is a baseball pitcher for the LA Dodgers. He's a great guy. He has a heart for the community, but he's kind of been at a place where he needs more meaning in his life, and he's starting a youth center in the inner city of LA to give kids an alternative to gang involvement and gang violence, but it just is not that easy. And before you know it, the gangs have placed a hit on him are after his life. So, yeah, there's a lot at stake. I feel like this is one of my most suspenseful stories, although the relational element is still very prevalent.
Oh, I think so, for sure. And especially an athlete looking to do great in the community and help out. And yet the people he's helping don't really understand why he's helping. And then there's this plot line of going after him. And so he put himself in danger to help others, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And just that whole idea that, you know, it's going to be, you may run into some discouragement if you try to do good, you know, and that's okay. You got to stay that course. I think there's a lot of that here where you think, so wait, he's supposed to be the one giving a plaque from the mayor at the end of the day, not a bullet. But it's more of a realistic look at what goes on in those situations and the importance of mentoring kids. Like it's not just, you got to do more than open a gym or a scared straight kind of a program. You need to really get in and roll up your sleeves and climb into the mess and be a mentor. And he learns that in this book.
Again, we're talking to Karen Kingsbury, New York Times bestselling author of Chasing Sunsets. And Karen, I see that you had a background as a sports writer. So this is kind of the storyline with the baseball player, especially L.A. and stuff, really speaks to you, right, for coming up with that idea.
Yeah, yeah, it sure does. My first job was a sports writer for the L.A. Times, and that I kind of started off with high school sports. I had no experience at all. I mean, you know, you should have seen me. I'm out there. My dad is like whispering to me from the stands, this is what's happening, you know. I had a lot of help out the gate when I was young and just starting out. But sports writing, I did that for a few years. I went from kind of high school prep sports to feature stories where, yeah, I was in the Dodger locker room for some of those. And you know, it's one of those experiences that stays with you for sure. My husband is a coach, so our boys have all played sports, and I just love including a sports element. And I might have a football coach as a character, or in this case, you know, the baseball element. And it's just a fun backdrop. I think people relate to it. There's always a reason to celebrate or a reason to be kind of struggling, and it gives you a kind of a context for conflict automatically when you have sports as a backdrop for a story like this.
Right. And the two areas that are going to really interest readers, one is sports and the other is their faith, because as we are seeing specifically with Roma Downey and what's going on with NBC and all these different things, people are wanting stories about faith. People are dying for this in this country and all over the world. And yet we at times are, other people are against things like this when it's the most popular thing in the world. And that's why you're a successful author, is because there's definitely an audience for you. And that's what, especially on, sometimes I don't speak as highly about my faith all the time on my radio show, especially with different things, but I try to whenever I get the opportunity. But this is it. The look at the popularity of certain things, and you bring the popularity of sports, and you bring the popularity of specifically a faith story, and then look at specifically, hopefully, bringing others in, right? That's another one of your goals of writing your books, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, I think you said it best. People are looking for hope. And it's that hope that I feel like it's not like it's a cliche happy ending always. I sometimes don't have a happy ending. I love that Library Journal gave me a starred review on Chasing Sunsets. And they said, we love that Karen's not afraid to have a bad thing happen to the character, and then she's not committed to having to have a happy ending, because that's not real life. But so I'll let you drop right down into the midst of something that feels very real life and feel the angst and the pain and the love story at work and all of it. But I'm not going to leave you hopeless. And that's what people want. They want hope. I think that, you know, sports gives us a bit of an escape. So that's a fun backdrop, again, the fabric to set it against. But the faith element, the idea that maybe there's more going on than I can see. Maybe I'm loved by a God who I don't even know. Maybe I don't even know him. Maybe I haven't even thought about that, but he loves me anyway, and he's working on my behalf, even in the unseen world. That's a profound thought that can give someone the hope to go another day.
Right. Till someone spoke to me about angels, Karen, and taught me about my guardian angel as a Catholic convert who basically didn't believe really in God 12, 14 years ago. So I've continually grown my faith. I have five children of my own. I truly see specifically the power of having that supernatural outlook on life. Understanding that there are that there's a higher power at work at all times, and we have to understand that, and that kind of changes the way you and I think, and that's what we're hoping to help others feel that same thing.
Exactly. I think it's so easy to go through life and get caught up in the here and now. It's a routine. You're getting up. You're going to work. You're punching a clock. Or I mean, even. Punching a clock, so to speak, and just kind of wondering what is it all about and where does it all go? And if things have been difficult, as they are for most people are either leading a struggle or headed toward one, or they're in the middle of one. And when you feel like that, and you sometimes have this sense of, do I matter? Does this matter? What am I doing in the midst of life? I think getting a sense of, like you said, of the supernatural, of that there's something greater than what I can see and touch. That's just so important. And I love, that's again in the Bible that his angels watch over us. They're his army. And so when God gives you that level of, like you said, it's a safety and a peace that says, there's more to this. I'm not alone, which is so important in our huge, busy world and with the craziness and the news. We're not alone. And what a great message. I want this novel to entertain. I mean, I want Jason Sunset. Don't put it down. I'm loving. I'm already hearing from readers. Wow, I read it in a day. And they're so turning the pages, can't wait for the next one. But I do want them to have more than that. And I want them to walk away with that hope that they really desperately need.
Well, I hope your entire series someday becomes movies and series and stuff. So I'll keep you in my prayers to see that happen for you as you continue your growth as a great author and also speaker and bringing that hope and everything. So where's the best place, Karen, people could purchase the book and learn more about you? Where can they go?
Best place would be my website. It's brand new, revised website, which I love. It's KarenKingsbury.com. And that's KingsBury.com. And they can find more about this book. There's actually four chapters of Chasing Sunset on my website they can read for free. So it's a great way to just check it out and see if this kind of writing speaks to you.
Well, Karen, thanks for calling, and thank you for fitting me in your busy schedule, and best of luck, and I know that you're going to continue to have great success, and people are going to hear more than just the literary world, I believe. More and more people are going to hear about you and a lot of other things as well, so thanks for calling and bringing such a tremendous message to the world, so thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, Neil, and I will be praying for you, too. Just God's blessings over you and all that you're doing. It's making an impact as well.
Thank you, Karen. Take care. Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
You're listening to Author's Corner, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Author's Corner on the Toll Education Network. Again, tolltutor.net for more information. Twitter, tolltutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, tolltutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. And I'm so excited to welcome the program, but Biggest Loser trainer and celebrity trainer, Brett Hobel. Brett, thanks for calling, and how are you? Appreciate you coming on the show.
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. No, I'm good, man. I'm in sunny LA right now, doing my thing here, and excited to be on your show.
All right, Brett, tell us specifically about your book again, 20 Minute Body, 20 Minutes, 20 Inches. I like the fact that it's a short period of time, especially with busy people and you know how they don't have always that time to work out for sure.
Yeah, man, the number one excuse that people give for not working out or cooking for themselves, the same thing over and over again. They don't have enough time. So that's the number one reason. If I can get somebody even to do 5 minutes, these workouts are 20 minutes, but they're generally 4 or 5 minute rounds. Just wrap your head around doing 5 minutes because a lot of people are still on the couch. They haven't gotten off. There's a fear of starting. They're unmotivated, but 5 minutes is that's all you can commit to one round. And I know they're going to end up doing more. But 20 minutes was really the sweet spot. I used to give 30-minute workouts, 40. The old paradigm of more and more is better. It's really not. The reality is you got to do something that you can fit in your schedule. People don't have time. But the science is clear. If you can do 20 minutes of good hard physical working out, you can get better results than hours and hours of training cardio on the elliptical machine with the treadmills. But it's got to be a focused and challenging 20 minutes.
So, Brett, that's very interesting. So you're basically telling me that, you know, if you work out, some of these people that work out 2 hours a day, it must be hurting their body then. It's not ultimately helping. You're kind of not getting that chance to recoup then, it sounds like. Is that what you're saying from the people?
No, and exactly. You don't need to overtrain your body. And that type of long-term training, your body can acclimate to that. And it's most people will do this. They're not changing up their routine. They're on the same treadmill, doing the same jog, doing the same elliptical machine, taking the same classes. The body adapts, it starts conserving calories. But the main part of the science is when you're working out that long, you can't work out at a top intensity because you're working out for hours on end. When you work out like that, your body does not produce excitatory hormones because it doesn't need to. The effort isn't high enough. Well, these excitatory hormones raise your metabolism, and to get your metabolism back to rest after you've worked out, that takes additional calories. So when you do these more what's called HIIT or high-intensity interval training workouts, you create this metabolic boost, then your body has to take calories to get it back from that heightened excited state to normal, to rest. After you worked out, you're burning calories later. This is what we call the afterburn. This is part of the secret and the science of these type of training, and you don't get that by doing those hours and hours on end.
So, Brett, especially being a personal trainer for a long time in your career, how did you come up with this idea of such a short period of time? I mean, you talked about the word, the sciences. So you did some studying, right? I'm sure you were working with some of your clients saying, I'm not seeing the results I truly need. Because again, I'm sure when you personal train, at times you don't see them every day. You give them homework, you give them things. And I guess through research, you finally figured out, and I guess the science is that it doesn't work when you're putting so many hours in. It sounds like
there's two things. There's the science end and the practical end. I'm not saying that if you're working out at the gym, putting in hours, you may not see results. What I'm really saying is to get those results or better results, I guarantee you can get them in a shorter amount of time, period. And most people don't have hours to be, you know, driving to the gym, working out at the gym, and coming back. We live in an age now where time is probably the most, you know, the most expensive currency you have. So on the research end, this type of high-intensity interval training, the afterburn, it's all in there. They did it on speed skaters. They've done it on cyclists. They've done it on a lot of different people. The science is clear. What made the 20 minutes sort of the sweet spot was more
time.
Me testing this. Because you can have a great program on paper, but if it doesn't fit in someone's life, it doesn't really matter. So my older sister is a mom of two kids, very busy. She had a lot to do with the timing. I was giving 30-minute workouts, and the one thing that she said is, I've got to get up an hour earlier to do those 30-minute workouts. And to be honest, it's not happening with my getting the kids to school. And I ran into this with a lot of other people. So I cut it down to 10 minutes and 15. No, it's not hard enough. I can do more. I landed with 20 minutes, four rounds. Each round is about 5 minutes. That was like the sweet spot. She said, I only got to get up 30 minutes earlier. Now I will commit to that. And a lot of other research has been shown that 20 minutes is a great chunk of time that people can really focus. More than that, too many things, it's hard for them to concentrate. The other part is I had chefs, two celebrity chefs I was on a television show with, that were making very short, quick meals for us and the staff, and they were taking 20 minutes. I had them write the recipes down, and that became a huge foundation of the nutrition element of the 20-minute body. So in the book, you get all these 20-minute workouts. They're all body weight. You don't need equipment. You don't need a gym membership. You can do it at home. This book and this program is about giving real solutions to people that have busy schedules. So there's the timing. The workouts are all laid out. You don't need a lot of equipment. But more than 50% of the battle of the bulge is nutrition, because the number one excuse of why people don't work out or cook for themselves, I don't have enough time. You got to be able to do the cooking part of the time. You want to manage your nutrition, because you cannot out-train a bad diet. And if you're eating out all the time, you know, it's just going to be a harder thing. 20 minutes or less, these chefs did an amazing job. There are over 100 of these recipes, from desserts, snacks, breakfast, the whole nine yards. I really had to dive in deep on the nutrition part because
that was huge.
What everybody was stumbling on. Huge.
I mean, think about it, Brett. If you work out a lot but you don't eat right, you're not going to get the results you need. You do the same thing the other way where you eat nice, eat well, but you're not, able to burn those calories. So putting those two things together and allowing the time that's needed, because that's the big thing. You can cook a meal in 20 minutes. You can work out in 20 minutes. And when you're talking about moms that are on the go or even CEOs of companies, they constantly in meetings, you can make it easy for any person to work out in 20 minutes and to eat and to prepare a meal in 20 minutes, you're going to help end this obesity thing, Brett. You're going to start.
The other big component is the mental aspect that I don't think a lot of people approach. So in the book, you've got the workouts, you've got the recipes, and then there's the mindset component. And I always say, the dumbbell and the diet don't get you in shape. It's your accountability to your word, and it's the belief in yourself that do, period. What's going to get you to 8 a.m. in the morning at the gym while people are sleeping in or other people are starting that breakfast and lunch is that accountability. And to get you up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning to get that 20-minute work in before you get the kids out, that's accountability. So we dive deep into this mental approach and real exercises for people to go through on a daily basis. They're short. They're actually less than 20 minutes that get people to get into the right mindset. One of my favorites is creating a mantra. That little mantra can be a hashtag like never settle or walk your talk, something like that, that you can put on your social media that you stand for. Things like that, little tricks like that, get people in the right mindset. And ultimately you got to get your fitness from within to get on shape on the outside.
Well, definitely. And what you brought in this component of this book is one thing, nutrition. The other thing, the science of working out. And last, the coaching. Because if you don't have somebody to help you, that coach, that mentor that helps you through this process of losing weight and getting in shape, if you don't have all those components, you're not going to have success. Read your book and they're on the right path. So where's the best place, Brett, they can purchase your book and learn more about you? Where can they go?
They can go online to 20minutebody.com/book. They can also get them in Barnes & Noble's or go straight to Amazon. It's just as good. And if you guys want to ask questions or find out more, I love hearing from people. I love answering the questions. They can follow me on my social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest. It's all my name, Brett, B-R-E-T-T, my last name, Hopel, H-O-E-B like Bravo, E-L.
Well, Brett, I enjoyed the conversation, really motivating me to go ahead and get off that couch and look at that 20 minutes. So when you tell me I only have 20 minutes, I definitely going to have to check out the book. So best of luck to you and good luck on the success of the book. And hope to hear back from you, especially with a lot of our listeners out there that go out and follow your plan. So thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Brett. See you later. Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care.
You're listening to Author's Corner, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back, the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And let the celebrity interviews roll on and on to have an unbelievable New York Times bestselling author. I think that she'll have her own series at one point in time. And also have Brett Hobel, former Biggest Loser trainer. Now we have on the program Steve Greenberg. He hosts Food Network's Invention Hunters and much, much more. Steve, thanks for calling, and how are you?
My pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, Steve, tell us specifically how you got hooked up with Food Network and kind of your background leading to this, for sure.
Okay. Well, I've worked with gadgets and garage inventors for a number of years. I'm a product scout, which means I go around the country seeing inventions and seeing if I can get some licensing deals. I wrote a book called Gadget Nation, which is all about that world of garage inventors or mom-and-pop inventors, whatever you want to call it. And the book opened up a lot of doors for me, got me a lot of TV appearances, and then a production company came to me, said they were working on a show for the Food Network. And that's how it all came about.
That's quite interesting. So I think that everyone in the world, Steve, thinks they have created an invention, right? Especially when you tell what your job is. People come to you all the time and say, hey, I got a great idea, Steve, right?
Every cocktail party I go to, not just some, I think
everyone.
Every cocktail party, there's either they are inventing something or they're brother-in-law or their next-door neighbor or their boss or their coworker. They always have a story about some invention that they're working on. It's patent pending. They're working on this. Very often they don't want to tell me what it is because, you know, people are very nervous about people stealing the idea, though that's really not the case in the world. Stealing ideas only happen once they become out there and hot. The hard part is getting it, you know, to get be hot, so they really don't get stolen. But anyway, people still come up to me all over the place saying, hey, I've got this great product. Well, in airports, I fly a lot. I travel around the country. I rarely can I sit at an airport without somebody walking over to me and talking to me about their invention.
I just had a feeling, and that's why you wrote the book, right? You had to kind of say, well, yeah, definitely check out my book so you can learn more. Because, you know, you get these commercials on, oh, please go ahead and don't let someone steal your idea. And as you're saying, Steve, it's a very hard thing if you go and explain something to somebody, this is my invention, for them to kind of come up with that idea and steal it, right?
I have to say, you know, without making anyone feel bad, the idea is usually the easy part. The hard part is taking that idea and getting it to market. So no one's stealing ideas. They have their own ideas. What ends up happening is once a product is out there and then starting to percolate, then someone can rip you off. But in that first stage, and that's why you want to have a patent and all that stuff to protect yourself. But it isn't to protect the beginnings of an idea before all the hard work goes into bringing it to market. It's usually like an 8-year process from the time you come up with an idea to it's actually in the stores for people to buy. So it's a lot of work. So people don't steal ideas. They steal, you know, the end product. A successful product is what they steal. But that being said, it's a crazy world. I started doing inventions on another show called Your New House on the Discovery Channel, and I was just showcasing, you know, gadgets. And all of a sudden, I started hearing from all these inventors around the country saying, hey, I've got an invention. And all of a sudden, I started finding these inventions, these really cool gadgets that weren't very mainstream. And that's when I learned about Gadget Nation. I said, yeah, there's a book here. And that's the book.
And definitely. And then the TV show. Now being on the Food Network, is this kind of, you're pretty much can't be private anymore. You're getting discovered all the time from all these other things, too, being on TV. But now you walk around. Just expect people to ask you questions about inventions, right? And spot you at airports, you at everything.
Everybody who sees me wants to know about, you know, have an invention or ask me about an invention, or they're mad at, you know, it's very often a spouse is mad at the other spouse because they put so much time and energy into what they think is a dead end idea, and I have to like marriage counsel it in real life. I mean, in the airport, I'm like, well, you know, I try and listen to both sides of the husband and wife arguing over it. That's happened to me many times. But yeah, Food Network wanted to kind of tap into this, and they basically started to, and basically a lot of what I focus on is housewares. So on the show, we focused on housewares as well, you know, kitchen gadgets, anything having to do with food preparation or serving food or storing food or anything like that. So, which is mostly housewares, which is, you know, a good fit for me.
And that's such an important thing. If we could find out a new gadget that'll make our lives easier at home for food, especially preparing food or storing food, what a great thing, right? That's going to be the big...
Definitely. And look, food's a big part of all of our lives. I mean, it's not just, you know, eat to live or live to eat. And there's a million gadgets, you know, whether it's to, you know, a gadget to take the avocado pit out easier or to hold hold hot corn of cob. You know, all those things are out there, or to butter corn. There are new gadgets. And because they're obstacles that people find in real life, like this could be done better, they go, you know, I've got a better idea than what we've got right now, and they go and start the process, and that's how a new product comes about. Yeah. I mean, one thing that my job does, it really makes you appreciate, and I hope the show does as well, that every single thing around you, just look around you, all those things had an inventor behind it, a patent behind it, manufacturing, a whole story that goes into your iron, your sheets, everything has to be designed and manufactured. It doesn't just appear in stores. There's real lives and people behind all of those products, and a lot of products aren't big companies behind them. Very often it's one person's idea who then built it into whatever whatever it is in your store. You know, you walk through Bed Bath and Beyond. That's all inventions.
Really?
All around
Wow.
you.
Wow. And just think of the how do your lives change if you invent something that's really becomes Bed Bath and Beyond picks up or something like that? Or
I always say they're not only inventing a product, but very often they're reinventing their lives because they started out as a school teacher. The next thing you know, now they're an entrepreneur. So they not only invented a product, they reinvented themselves.
Have you created any inventions before, Steve? By the way, yourself?
Well, I mean, I like to think of my book as an invention. I created,
yes,
I market,
truly.
I put it out there.
Definitely.
So Gadget Nation's my baby. I also own an app called Selfie Extreme. It's available for Apple products. So it's Selfie Extreme, but there's only one E in there. So the selfie has the E and then a big X for extreme. So I have that out there. And those at this point are my only two inventions. Truthfully, the one thing you learn from the world of invention is that taking an idea to market is really hard work.
Yeah, true.
And I don't know, you know, if I have what it takes to do it. I mean, you have to be super tenacious. And you've just got to be devoted to it 24/7. People read my book. It's so funny. I get a lot of feedback from the people who read the book. And some say, wow, after reading your book, I've got an idea. I'm going to take it to market. And other people read the same book, the same set of words. And they come back and say, you know what? After reading your book, I had an idea. But seeing how tough it is to take it to market, I'm not going to do it. So some people, it's inspiring. Other people, it's like, you know, a cautionary tale.
Truly, because it's expensive, and you're taking a risk. It's an entrepreneurial venture. Just because you're an inventor and you think you're going to make millions, you might have to put up $100,000 of your money, something else, your life savings.
Absolutely.
Just to happen,
you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's no different than going to Vegas and going to the crap table. When you come to inventing, it's gambling in a very big way. And sometimes it pays off big time, sometimes it doesn't. The one thing about my book that I've gotten a lot of acclaim for is that I profile successful gadgets and not successful gadgets.
Oh, okay.
And what you learn is that the difference isn't that great. I mean, what seems like a good idea doesn't work. What seems like a bad idea does work. There's a lot to a success, and it isn't predictable. I mean, that's what makes it gambling.
It does. And that's what, as an entrepreneur myself in a small business, I learned very quickly that I try to, you know, network with entrepreneurs. Lots of them aren't making any money at all. I mean, I'm at least making a living to take care of my family, but I have goals and aspirations of much, much more. And I see that growth, but other people, you know, they just think it's going to come out overnight and they have a product that's going to market or a service that's going to work. And learning from reading Steve's book, you'll learn, is your gadget truly something that truly people want, or is it something that's going to stay on a shelf and collect dust? And that's the key thing. So Steve, where's the best place we can find information on you? Purchase your book, learn more about you. Again, Invention Hunters is on at what time? All these things, where can we find you? Where's the best place to go?
Okay, let's go through it. Well, Invention Hunters finished its first season. We're now in hiatus, and when we'll be launched next, I'm not sure. So right now, you have to look for us online. You can download us. A couple episodes are on YouTube, and they're easy to find. So you can definitely still, we're out there. That's also on the Food Network's website. You can hunt me down, especially if you have a really great idea that you want a licensing deal on. You can find me at stevegreenberg.tv. So I have a website that has all things Steve Greenberg. You can, and including you can buy my book and whatnot, and a little bit about the app. You can also hunt me down on Twitter at SteveTV. And on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/SteveTV, and you can find me there too. So I'm really accessible. The book also has its own website called GadgetNation.net, but you can get to that through SteveGreenberg.tv.
And you're also on NBC monthly, right? As well, correct?
Yeah, I do. Every month I appear with Hoda and Kathy Lee on the Today Show. I've got a standing date with them every month. And next, in fact, I'll be on, I just finished one last week, so my next one is actually May 1st. I'm doing some Mother's Day gadgets for the ladies. And I've been doing it for a couple of years now. I love doing that show. Hoda and Kathy Lee are always very kind to me. And I try to bring on stuff you're not going to find on other gadget segments. I try to bring on mom and pop inventions. I mean, sure, once in a while I'll have an Epson product or an LG product, but for the most part, it's a lot of garage inventions, mom and pop inventions that I put on that show that fit the category of whatever Hoda and Kathy Lee are looking for that day.
Well, Steve, going on the Today Show monthly is an unbelievable honor, and the amount of people that watch the show. So what an amazing opportunity for you that you continue to have. And you are the gadget guy. So, Steve, thanks again for calling, and best of luck to you. And we'll stay in touch, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Keep in touch.
All right, take care, Steve. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to Author's Corner's Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.